bridge from here. Hello, everyone. We do not need a microwave. Okay, who's getting coached? Raise your hand. Michelle coach. Let me pull it up. Shannon, you're first.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Tell me why we're here.
So we're here. You coached me a couple months ago on night eating. And I was using it as a way to kind of silence the negative self-talk chatter in my head. And I've made a lot of progress on that. Done a lot of recovery worksheets when it happens. And what I'm learning is that it's, you know, if I'm tired, I can recognize that if it's only like tired and not work stress or family stress, I can recognize, oh, hey, you're just tired. And that's why you want to eat and avoid it. And same, if I'm well-rested and having work stress, I can recognize, oh, you just want to eat because it's work stress and avoid it. But what I'm finding is the hardest thing for me is when I have the exhaustion and, a bad day at work and my toddler's being an asshole, I can't seem to stop. I can't seem to find that urge and say, oh, yeah, it's just an urge. I can deal with this. And so.
So tell me what it is you do say in the moment. Because it's not all those things that are happening.
Right.
That's the environment. That I want you to think more about that as your circumstances. It's on a day physically tired. I've assessed my day as XYZ. My toddler happens to be crying at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying I can't handle this. I can't deal with this. I don't have enough resources or brain power to be able to rise above this.
Okay. So here's the thing. The first is to recognize the first lie you're telling yourself right now that's not going to help you gain authority is, I don't really know. I think you said, I don't know. I can't seem to understand why I'm doing it, or I can't whatever. You know exactly what's all happening. You're just choosing not to in that specific realm of stuff. It's not that it's like, I don't know what's happening, or this is the one I've identified as, you know, whatever.
Sure.
This is the thing. As you clean up some stuff, guess what? The next level shift comes up.
Yeah.
Now it's like, all right, the little things I can do, now I need to practice ground on the bigger ones.
Sure. So how do I catch myself and in the moment, how do I turn my brain on and go, oh, wait, you know, this is now, you know, you're not going to just go down and go into the pantry. You're going to.
So what is the difference between how you feel on that night versus how you feel when it's just this level of stress? Like, how do you know your varying degrees of stress?
I think it's, I guess some of it is just, sometimes I am so tired that I feel like my higher brain just isn't firing.
It's not. You have to turn it on.
Yeah. And so,
I'll tell you something amazing. Your higher brain wasn't firing months ago.
That's true.
And you taught it to start turning on when you didn't think it could then, or when it wasn't. Now it's like, now we have just this whole different set of like emotions and stuff that are just different. It's like, no, your higher brain's not going to turn on until you start actively choosing to do it. I think that some of it is like, there's different approaches. Mm-hmm. I think one is, figure out like this whole work stress thing.
Yeah.
Your thoughts around, why do you keep allowing yourself to get jacked up about your job?
Yeah. And that has improved dramatically by doing thought work and by, you know, taking the drama out of it, telling myself I'm going to deal with what's in front of me and nothing else. But you know, there's some days where it's everything is coming at me. And there's not 5 minutes to stop and think. You just have to.
But you don't need 5 minutes. Here's the thing. You're telling yourself, because everything's coming at me. And I don't have time to, like, deal with it. So I'm going to deal. Like, you do have time to deal with it. You know how I know?
Because deal with it.
Because you're dealing with it with food. Yeah. Like, telling yourself I don't have time to deal with it is like a fucking lie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Like, I know I'm going to, like, make time to deal with this right now. I'm going to make time in the pantry, or am I going to make time with, like, saying, this is probably not all coming at me at once. This is how I'm summarizing my life. My child's crying. Normal.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Today at work, these things happened. Normal. Like, that's where I think you're going to have to do the next level work is normalizing your stress and not saying like, all right, I just need to quit. I need to figure out how do I quit eating when I'm stressed?
Sure.
What if we just solve why you keep blowing it all up into a stressful event? And it seriously, you don't have to like tell your child to be quiet and your job doesn't have to change and stuff. The way you describe it will be everything. The way you talk about it will be everything because that will bleed over into how you're just stating it. I want you to watch this video again.
Okay.
And I want you to listen for these specific things. How you describe your day. It's when these things happen as if, Corinne, here's the circumstances.
Sure.
Stressful day at work. A toddler I don't want to deal with. Mm-hmm. Here's the circumstances. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Until we get that to like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I don't care what happens during the day. I'm done describing my life this way. It's never going to serve me. It's never going to help me. I would much rather you say, like, I went to work today.
Sure.
My toddler is crying. Totally expected. It's a toddler.
Right, right.
And I don't even have to like it. But right. It's not stressful. Like, I think that's what I watch, like, some of you do, is, like, you describe it as it's stressing me. That toddler crying is stressing me. It's like, no. It's you thinking that you need them to stop so that you feel better.
Right. Right. That it should be some other way than what it is. Yeah. Okay.
So I think
that's a lot to think about. Yeah.
It is. And it's going to take like you each day on your way. Do you drive home and have any moments to yourself?
I do. I have about a 45 minute commute.
During that commute is when so I don't have 5 minutes to do thought work.
But I have.
Oh, crap. You've got 45 minutes alone in your car.
Yeah.
Spend 5 of it in silence.
Okay. It'd be
excruciating. Most of us, what we want to do is like, you're just like either daydreaming about food or distracting yourself until you get home to kind of tune out the day. I want you to tune totally into what am I thinking about this day? And let your brain like run wild. Like don't try to change your thoughts. One of the things I'm working on with my coach is I spend some time just watching what I think. Like, and I don't judge it. I don't sit there and be like, you shouldn't call yourself those things. You shouldn't say those things, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I just listen to myself rant for 5 minutes in my head. And I really just pay attention to it so that I'm like, okay, this is what I'm thinking right now. This is probably why I'm feeling this way. Then I start deciding, okay, was it a stressful, am I going to go home thinking it was a stressful day? Or am I going to go home and really realize it was a day at work?
Sure. Yeah, I think that could be very powerful.
It really is. The moment you can get to where you just watch what you think.
Yeah.
Not try to change it. And then kind of sit with it and really take ownership. It's like, oh, okay, the day is stressful because I keep like thinking these things.
Sure.
Even if people are yelling at you and with unreasonable deadlines and all the things.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one will ever be able to argue with me that it's going to be helpful for them to describe their day that way.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And actually yesterday I had it was a full day, but it was a very productive day. And in the past I noticed I always call my husband on my drive home to let him know I'm coming. And I instead of saying, oh, so busy, I said, it was a good day. I got a lot done. And that's like the first time I've been able to frame it that way. So
I love to like always think about because I fall into the trap of wanting to say I'm busy myself.
Yeah.
And I work on it all the time. Yeah. And when I do, I'm like, do I want to just like, I literally will say like, God, you did so much today. Why do you want to shit on it with feeling bad because you were busy? Why not just be like, I was very productive today.
Yeah.
On my calendar or like I was in beast mode. Like like things were coming up and I was handling them.
Yeah.
I got all the surprises handled today. That is like, people are like, wasn't that blowing smoke up your ass? I'm like, hell yeah, it is. Otherwise, I'm blowing venom up my ass. It's like, I don't need a colonic.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. Yes, that's much more useful.
Yes. So. And then do some work around this baby.
Yeah. She's my strong, independent little woman.
She's supposed to, like, be just as stressed and tired, all the things that we self-describe. Toddlers get that opportunity too. Yeah. She just doesn't know how to eat through it yet. So let's go to that.
I don't want her to.
Right. She's screaming, demanding for her needs, speaking up for herself, crying, going through all the emotions.
Yes.
And we're just like, if you would just quit doing that, you should just be like, would you like a glass of wine? Start you now on how we really progress.
yes. Yeah. No, I think that's, and I do have a lot more compassion for her and myself when I think about, you're struggling and you're just doing the best you can right now. So,
and you can also say, and I'm just a mom who's tired. Of course, I'm going to be like not thrilled that you're throwing a fit. Like you know, a lot of times when Logan comes the third day, I don't remember what day it was, he was so combative. He was in one of those moods where Chris and I talked to Chris and I said, did you notice Logan today? He was looking for a fight. He just kept saying all the things. He was like, ooh, I'm going to say this and you're going to disagree with me. And then we can have our battle, you know, and we weren't doing it. You could see him seething on the inside that he couldn't get us to take it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just sat there and I was like, in the moment, very annoyed. Like, we are having a beautiful family moment. Why are you in such a pissy mood? Like in my mind, I'm just like, man. And I was like, you're not supposed to love every minute of it. And he's not loving every minute of this either.
Right.
And I was like, this is mothering. Part of mothering is like, at some point you want your kid to behave. But you don't like put judgment on it, on you or her.
Yeah.
I don't put judgment on him or me for both of us not being our elevated higher selves.
Right. And that's where my brain goes when I should be a better, if I were a better mother, my toddler wouldn't be, you know, screaming and throwing a fit right now, which is, I know that is not.
That only works when you teach toddlers how to drink wine or sedate them.
Right, right. Yeah.
And since we're not going to break the law, we're just going to have a tantrum.
Right. Yes. That is helpful to remember.
That, I think, is really what's going to help you at night with the eating.
Yeah.
Because when you put the focus on the real problem and you're solving the real problem, your brain doesn't have as much energy for the other.
Yeah.
And then when you kind of start smoothing that stuff out, first you're taking the trigger out. Like the natural cue, the natural trigger. Like you'll have your cue, but your trigger now will be, you know, when all this is happening, I want this to trigger me to be like, this is normal. Yeah. It's not always supposed to be pleasant, rather than I can't take this.
Yeah.
This all should be very different.
Right.
Now you'll
see a much more helpful thought.
Yeah. And just know, like, and sometimes I'm still going to want to eat, and sometimes I'm still going to want to do these, and sometimes I even will, but I'm just going to reworking, like, these cues are okay. It's the trigger section I want to work on. Sure. And then I'll start responding different.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
So I couldn't look at her face when I was going to tell her this, but I am just saying I am in the years, in the teenage years, that I would never trade for the baby years ever again. Boy, I love having me a teenager. They just, you know, them babies. I remember when Logan was little, he had such communication issues. So it seemed like he had fits all the time. He had a very hard time. He most of the time didn't know what he needed or knew how to like articulate it. And those were some years. And I didn't have thought work back then. And I think all of you should get a special award for having the babies. It's amazing to me too. We have children, and some of you actually opt in to do it again. Just like, what are you doing? We were one and done. All right, who's next? Tara, you're up. If you have a question, guys, will you pop it over into Q&A? Hey, look at you with a cute haircut. Seriously. Let's see. Well, I unmuted you. Hang on. Let's see if it works this time. There we go. All right. So what are we coaching on?
Okay, I'll keep this brief. I feel nervous. This is my first time. So I have a wacky work life. I'm an opera director, which means I'm a contract worker, which means sometimes I'm at home for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And sometimes I'm on a job for a month at a time, sometimes longer.
Do you sing opera?
I was a singer, but now I'm a director. So I'm the boss.
But you have the talent to do it. Is what I'm just like, that's amazing. Okay. I just had to have my moment with that. Like now I'm all starstruck. I'm like, holy shit, did y'all hear? We got an opera singer up in our building.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
I'm so redneck, but go ahead.
No, it's okay. So yes, there's lots of practical things like, oh, how the heck do I manage this wacky lifestyle? But you know, I've been doing it my entire adult life, and sometimes I'm better at it than others. Yes.
What if it's not wacky anymore?
Sure. I mean, it's normal for me. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like to me, wacky lifestyle would be, hey, Corinne, did you know that I'm a clown on the weekends?
Well, it feels like that sometimes.
Well, I mean, just seriously, I was just sitting there thinking you've described it that way. And I'm like, man, how would you describe my life? Because like the month of October, I'm going to not be home. I'm going to be at a different hotel and city every week doing something different.
Yes, indeed. Although for me, then that doesn't change. That's like,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's normal. Yeah. Like, I mean, I just want you to think about it for a hot second. If we were just to like, because I don't even know what you're going to ask me. But whatever it is that you're going to ask me, if it was coming from a place of like, I have a very normal life. Like, it's super normal.
Sure.
Does it change whatever you're going to ask me? Change how you're dealing with it?
So.
All right. Well, tell me what the thing
is. Maybe. Well, let's see. So the deal is that I was an April baby, and then I sat on my buttocks until June. And so I've been in learning mode since June. And I feel like July and August have been going pretty well.
Good.
I am impatient with my weight loss, but I'm working on that. And I just listened to your podcast about having patience with yourself.
In June and July, how much did you lose?
I've lost 6 pounds.
So not wacky, but normal. June and July, that 6 pounds is about right on target.
Yes. I mean, I vacillate between feeling like, thank God you lost 6 pounds, and thinking, oh, you have been working so hard. Why aren't you, you know, 70 pounds down overnight? I know that's ridiculous, but that's just where.
But that's what you have to just like, we don't need to coach on that part. Here's what we have to just do. Realize when we're thinking wacky.
Yeah.
That is wacky. Like to sit there and be like, you know what? For 2 months, I have lost what is probably pretty much statistically what I should be losing. And yet for some reason, I'm thinking that's just shit's not good enough.
Yeah.
Like that's why.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I do know that. So I'm, you know, working on that part. Here's the thing that I'm wanted to kind of coach about though. I, you know, when I'm at my home with my boyfriend, I feel like, you know, we kind of get into a good groove. Weekends are something that is my area that I'm working on. Like we're pretty good during the week. And then the weekends I am working on getting a handle on that. But next week I go on a gig and I just have a real strong tendency to cheat on myself. Like even if I write the plan, when I'm alone,
out of town, you don't follow your plan.
I guess, I mean, that's what I'm kind of looking for clarity on or how to address that because.
No, we're not going to address anything until we know why we're doing it. It doesn't matter. I could tell you, like, let me ask you that. All right, Tara, here's what you got to do. When you travel, you have to be just like me. You make a 24-hour plan and you follow it.
Yes.
thank you for the coaching call. Who's next?
I know.
You would just be like, that sucks, Corinne. I'm like, I need more than that because I have a wacky lifestyle.
Yeah.
I travel. Like, I'm telling you right now, I knew that this would come back and haunt you. I'm just going to snip you right in the ass. You think your travel, self-described as my wacky lifestyle, where I'm sometimes I'm at home and sometimes I'm not, is the reason why I'm overeating?
I think it's, I mean, it is an excuse, but I think it's more about like, I don't believe I can do this, or I'm hiding from something, or I think if no one can eat the sleeve of Oreos, that it doesn't count.
Yeah, those are all just thoughts you're having about you eating.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the reason why you're choosing it is because you have it set up in your head that being out of town somehow means it's harder. If it's wacky, the way you describe it, when you watch the video again, you describe it, you described your job and travel life as a problem. Like when you think it's wacky, are you just like, oh no, it's just hilariously fun? It's so
amazing. I mean, sometimes.
It is. But when it comes to your food, is it hilariously fun?
No, it's not fun learning a new grocery store, you know, setting up a new kitchen every single time.
What if it was? What if it was normal? What if it was fun? I mean, what if it was like you just decided this was going to be easy and not as hard as you've been making it?
Yeah. Well, earlier this week on some sort of thing, you said, you know, how can I make this easy? Or how can this be easy? And that was actually a big light bulb moment. I'm looking at a post-it that I have on my computer about it now. So it's more about, or the thing that I'm dancing around is, I guess, this dealing with urges and I go into this like zombie brain moment. You know, I guess this, I have an urge and it's like, I have this angel on this side that's like a million great ideas for how to not honor this urge. And I just say, nope.
But you're dealing with you're dealing with what the problem isn't. You think the urge is the problem. Mm-hmm. You set yourself up for disaster before you even left your house. Before you've tried, where are you going next week?
Let's see. I'll be in Houston for a week.
And where are you at now? Where you live?
I'm actually in Austin.
Okay, so in Austin, you've set yourself up to fail every urge. You've set yourself up to have to go into every urge thinking the travel is the problem. My environment is the problem. Being on the road is a problem. This is going to be hard because all of it. You haven't decided yet you can do this. You haven't decided like I'm going to go from believing I can't do this on the road to like I'm learning how to do this on the road.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, that's why I like hammered you in the beginning about how you described your life. It's the very same as the last caller. Right. If she truly believes that her job is stressful some days and her toddler shouldn't act this way and stuff, we're not going to be able to just like, if that's going to be now the circumstance, we can't control those. So you're always going to be trying to feel good about something bad in your mind. And you're trying to say like, hey, I need tactics so that this bad thing doesn't happen anymore. Rather than what if we don't view it as bad? Like, I want you to really think about this. I'm going to be out of town next weekend in Vegas. The following week, we're launching. Throw out launch week. I'm always really solid on launch week. The next week, I'll be in Dallas. I'm home for 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be at camp at a hotel with six women. Let me just tell you, that's not always the easiest thing to room with six women. We were all working around the clock. So hormones arise. The next week I will be, where will I be? Miami. And then the next week I will be, and that trip's half the time with my mother.
Yeah.
Traveling with your mama is always so much fun in your 40s.
Yeah.
And the next week I'll be in San Diego for a whole week. And then I get to come home. And in that trip, I'll also be rooming with these six crazy ass ladies. Now,
nice.
If I sit around and I thought all these trips, it's going to be a problem. I don't know how I'm ever going to maintain my weight. It's really going to like if I just started thinking about it that way, what do you think happens to me?
you become defeated and you give up and do fat girl eating.
I'd eat like you. I just described how you think about your life when you work. And I want to tell you, there's certain times that are amazing, but if my bottom line thought is, I really need someone to help me figure out a few tactics so that I can get through some urges around this bullshit that I've got to do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're asking. And so what I want to do is like say, no, let's not call it bullshit anymore. It's your job. This is, unless you're quitting, let's start like normalizing that this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to learn how to make it easier on myself. And I'm going to learn how to like go into a grocery store and figure it, like when you describe like, and I got to set up a new kitchen and all that, so your brain's already in panic mode. It's like bad things happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, after 15 years of doing this, I have some strategy. I have the tactics. It's my brain, like the practical part of it. Somebody else was on this call, I'd be like, this is what you got to do. But for me, I do know that it's the mental thing and the like sneaking around when I get home late at night and what kind of binging and thinking that it doesn't matter, which I know, and of course I know it matters, but.
So I find it interesting that when you started this call, you started it with, you never mentioned your binging to the very end.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to, I guess.
Yeah, but you were trying to get to the binging. Why not just start with, Corinne, I'm binging at night.
I have a problem with binging.
Yeah, rather than, I've got a wacky job. Let me explain to you why I'm binging. And that's the problem. The explanation you have around it is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like when I'm in my home environment, for some reason, it's not as much of a problem. So I'm feeling very scared because I'm going into this, you know, what I would call a danger zone.
It's not a danger zone. You're going to go travel. And you know what? The worst that's going to happen is you binge like last time. You've survived. We have to quit being afraid of it. The worst that's going to happen is you'll keep binging until you figure out why you're binging and how to stop. That's literally the worst thing that's going to happen. And you will cry and be in some pain because of what you'll think, like, it has to stop. I'm a bad person for doing whatever it is. Like, I want you to just sit and think right now, what I'm experiencing in this moment is the worst that happens. I feel bad about it.
Yeah.
It takes the power away from the binge. It's not all powerful. It's a choice. No, you're fine. You should cry. Like, you should fucking cry a lot. This is probably why you binge. You probably don't cry enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you just had a good cry every day until you figured out why you were crying? Be like, wow, I really would like to like start thinking differently so I didn't have to cry every day. Because you're choosing, I'm either going to cry, I'm going to keep the way that I'm going to keep all the triggers that make me cry, all the thoughts. So I'm either going to eat or cry over them. And I don't like crying, so now I'm just going to eat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, I mean, I acknowledge that I do think there's a thought issue behind this. That.
What's different at home? Tell me what's different at home. If you had to guess, it's because of what? I'm going to see where your brain goes.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that I do have a supportive partner. And I know that I can't depend on him. It's not his job. But it is helpful. And I mean that in multiple ways. Like, he's supportive of my weight loss goals. But also, he's very supportive in a practical way.
Does he stop supporting you when you travel?
Well, he's certainly not there to help with the cooking and grocery and list making and things like that. But he's definitely supportive emotionally. So that's lovely.
Do you focus on that when you're out of town, or do you focus on I'm alone?
Yeah, I think it's when I'm out of town, it's I'm in charge of everything all day long because I'm the director. And then I feel like I don't have a lot of gas left over for the being in charge of the practicalities of life, but that's part of being a grown up. I know that. Honestly, in July, I was on a job and I did pretty well. So,
and why did you do well in July?
It was gift that month, and I just was like, "I'm tired of dicking around on this program, and I'm going to write a flipping a plan every goddamn day." And I don't know why. I just was like, "Get on the wagon and do this." And
did you make the plan really hard, or did you keep it pretty simple, or how did you do it?
I kept it pretty simple. I mean, when I was doing the plans, when I was in a regular situation, I'm sorry, I'm still using that language, but you know, I was on a job for a month, so I was kind of able to get into a groove, and I knew, you know, I was able to meal prep for a whole week and not worry about having to throw that food away at the end. And then it was when the job got over with and I was like in between and traveling and seeing my parents and stuff. So I attribute it to irregular schedule days, which that, I know is crazy, you know,
the only way that you're going to gain authority over this is to quit thinking that your schedule is why you eat.
Yeah.
You just happen to be eating to deal with your thoughts about your schedule.
Yes.
It's like, you know, like you had one, let me just tell you, you've got a lot of TDLs you could be doing. I keep pulling thoughts like, "Oh, we can bottle this and we can bottle this."
Yes.
Like I was there for a week. So now I didn't have to worry about throwing food away. Yeah. As if you ever have to worry about throwing food away.
Yeah.
You could always be like, you know, I'm really invested in losing weight. It's going to probably like, I'm going to throw this food out because I'm done. It's $15.
Yeah.
But I want you to like, when I really would go back through here and listen for thoughts, how many thoughts you're having. And we all do this. So do not feel bad about this, Tara. I have to do the same thing with myself. I listen to I have a Marco Polo buddy. A lot of times I re-listen to my own recordings because when I'm just talking, my real thoughts come out much easier.
Yeah.
So I will say things as if it's just, you know, yeah, just like, you know, when I'm there for a whole week and I'm in routine, see, now I don't have to worry about throwing food away rather than questioning, but like, you know what? I think I could probably never worry about throwing food away. Yeah. If I ever had to do it, if I didn't have drama about it, it would save me some overeating. Yeah. So it's the little things, and it's you. I think it's going to all go down to, if you really want to start working on the binging, you're going to have to quit blaming the binging on the schedule, because the schedule's not doing it.
It's, you know.
And the reason why you were successful at home is not because of your husband, or is it your boyfriend?
It's not my boyfriend.
It's nice to have somebody supportive and stuff. That's great and wonderful. But he could support the fuck out of you, and you still want to eat whatever you want.
Yes, and I've definitely done that. So
your food choices, when you're making them, I want you to take ownership. I love him. He's amazing, and he's so supportive, and I'm very lucky. But the reason why I'm doing it is because I'm choosing it. Because it will work on both sides of the coin. It allows you to start understanding. I think for you, like what I'm noticing is there's a lot of, I haven't really figured out yet that the way I think causes my pain. Do you do the model? I know you're newer and like,
yeah.
Okay.
I think, well, I mean, honestly,
does. I know that, you know, about 50-50 here on the people who does models.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say I do it every single day, but I probably do it 3 or 4 times a week.
That's good.
I mean,
if you can.
I'm sorry.
I would do more if you can, even if you can't. Full model, one easy way to really get so good at understanding the difference between thoughts and facts. I really think that if there was a magic zone in the model, it is really understanding the difference between the circumstance line and the thought line. Once you really get good at it, you start noticing in life when you are abdicating your control. And because if you abdicate the control over food, and abdicate your feelings and your actions off to some the circumstance line, you are now going to feel naturally disempowered. Yeah. Well, that has to change in order for me to change now.
Right.
So like you can do that so easily by like saying, okay, I'm feeling like shit right now, or I'm feeling amazing right now, whatever it is. The facts of what's going on are here and everything I think about it's here. Or you do the TDL and you just separate the two out. We used to do this a long time ago. You take a highlighter and you highlight facts only. And then you go back through and you question to make sure they're all actually facts.
Right.
A typical TDL for all of you should have maybe 2 to 3 facts in it. And I'm talking like a 2-pager.
Right.
Like if you think there's more, you're wrong. Go back.
Right. Yeah.
So when you're on the road, I want you, like, I really think that if you will start thinking about, I am going to neutralize my relationship with my job. It's not wacky. It's not hectic. It's not out of the norm. It's none of that. It's like, it's just the hours that I work and in the city of which it's happening in.
Yeah.
When I'm there all day, here's another optional thought. It's all on me. I'm making all the decisions. It feels true, but does it feel good?
Yeah. I think that I think it is me wanting to be a toddler and just like saying, I'm already in charge of everything. I don't want to be in charge of this too.
What if you just say like, this is not a me having to boss me moment. This is my opportunity to love myself with food.
Yeah.
Make sure it's really loving. Oh, you have a cat. Most people would think, yeah, but we shouldn't comfort her. Oh, that's an adorable kitten, first of all.
Baby, yes.
I know. I'm just like, yeah, we haven't had a kitten in so long. I love them.
There's another.
Oh, my God. And you know, we used to only have black cats for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, well.
Oh, I loved black cats. We had two. Mr. Phelps, he was crazy. Mr. Phelps was crazy. And Murray. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But the thing is that it's like when we love ourselves with food, we do it from a genuine place of love. We don't binge from that. We don't eat to get away from things. Like when you really love something, you're nurturing it. You're caring for it. You're adoring it. I don't want you to have any more homework other than you go and you stop describing your life as anything but this is my life. I travel. These are the weeks of which I do it in the cities that I will be there. I've done it for 15 years. I'm really good at it. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep you. And then you start thinking about with the food at night, I don't have to make decisions. I get to love myself with food. And how am I getting that done tonight? Sometimes that might be Subway. Yeah. You know, or whatever. That I will tell you, when you start framing it that way, the decisions at which you make for yourself come very differently, and that's your actions. Sometimes loving yourself is not going to the grocery store after a 12-hour day and trying to find shit to do food prep. That's not loving yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting something that you may think is bad when you're in diet mentality, but would totally work, and you eat it to like a 2 or even a 3, could be really compassionate and loving yourself. Yeah. So do you want one of my super, super tips for travel when I have a mini fridge? All right. So this is really easy. I go to a Mexican restaurant. I order 3 orders of fajitas and I just, whatever meats I want, and they will package it any way you want. I tell them that they can keep everything but the healthy stuff. And I take it to the hotel and I've got meat and veggies that are delicious. And I've got all the guac that I can stand. And anything else that I'm going to want with it, and you can even swing by a store if you want, or you can tell them, like, in exchange for rice and beans and all that bullshit, give me all the lettuce.
Right. Yeah, that sounds great.
And it's somebody else does it. We used to, a couple of years ago when I traveled a lot a couple of years ago too, I would call a Mexican restaurant and just say, pretend I'm a party and give me, what are you going to charge me for 2 pans of steak fajita stuff? And I don't want anything else but that. And they would just cook for a week. And I just threw salads and potatoes and everything. I'm like, I didn't even have to do the cooking. I just need Chris to go get it.
Yes, that's awesome.
And now with Uber Eats, they'll bring it to you. Like, we used to have to drive our asses there.
Yes, indeed.
But that's going to come from someone who feels like they can do it, and it's very doable, and they love themselves.
Yeah, because currently I'm hating myself with food, honestly. I'm like, trying to bury my feelings, and loving myself with food seems like a really different approach. So
I think it's something that all of us need to start practicing more of. How are we going to love ourselves through the process of weight loss, and how are we going to love ourselves through the process of not binging?
Yeah.
For my binge eaters, I work very closely with a binge eater. She's my best friend, and the hardest work she does is not trying to figure out how to stop the binge. It's how do I love myself day in and day out unconditionally, no matter what happens? That's the hardest part. And when the closer she gets to really loving herself, we start seeing the binges slow down.
Yeah.
And when she's not paying attention to that, they start escalating again.
Sorry.
No, I'm just like, oh my God, I want it. I want it like right here.
You're a superstar.
All right, lady. Anything else I can help you with?
No, you've given me a lot to think about. So thank you very much.
Well, we covered a lot. Watch it. I know it's not always easy for y'all to watch your stuff, but just watch it and take some notes and stuff, and just one thing at a time. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye. Okay. Let's do some questions. And we only had 2 people sign up today. Just saying, more people should sign up. We had 2 cancellations, and Sadie was going to take y'all. So just in the future, guys, here's how we want to do it. You need to sign up to get on these calls with me. All you got to do is email support. It's not complicated. Just email support and say, hey, is there any room on that call? She always keeps a backup. So if there's no room and people have signed up, then we would roll to the list. Ask, higher brain. Do you just tell yourself stop and say, let's think about this? Is it a conscious prompt? Very often, Cheyenne, for me, it is. Like when I just, sometimes I'm like I'll catch some kind of like who nanny thought come along. Like let's go to the busy. I will say like, want to just go to Chris and be like, I'm going to be so busy today. And then I will catch myself like either saying it or wanting to say it, and I'll be like, nope, you know what it is? Today is one of those days I'm going to be very productive. Like I just consciously shift. It works. It really works, guys. If you're going to go through life and do shit, you might as well like feel better about it. Like there's no reason to describe it as busy. If it feels like shit and it's a description, stop using it and just redirect yourself. But I'm going to tell you, so I heard something yesterday. I was listening to a podcast. This podcast isn't that great, but every now and then the dude has a nugget, but I don't even want to recommend him. He was saying that like, he was talking about the difference between the higher brain and the lower brain. And the higher brain is engaged 5% of the time. Your lower brain, where all the habitual thoughts and stuff, it is engaged 95% of the time. So 5% of the time, your conscious brain comes on to do things. 95% of the time you're wired to just your habitual, whatever it is you're thinking, your job. And remember 80% of those thoughts. So 80% of those thoughts are pre-wired to always to see things from the negative side. Like you can't do that. That's going to be really hard. Are you sure you want to do that? It is supposed to, the lower brain's job is to be skeptical. It's not to blow smoke up your tail. That's the higher brain's job. So your job is to decide consciously to use more. We're just hardwired to do 5% in the higher brain, 95% in the lower brain. That does, just because you're hardwired, that doesn't mean that that's how it has to be. when, as you start doing more of this work and stuff, you start learning how to raise the percentage of how often you're going to use your higher brain. And while you're using that, you're deprogramming and reprogramming that lower brain so that it's not always 80%, or you get so good at hearing it, you're like, but no, this, let's do this. That's the magic sauce. That was a good question. Good morning. Just wanted to say thank you again for coaching in Queen's Club Sunday. I'm on day 3 of eating half, and no one has said, oh, it's Amber. No one's died. Oh my God. If you're in the Queen's Club, you have to watch her call. I'm so glad to hear that. That is hilarious. Cause like she, like when I was telling her like how she was going to lose weight and whatnot, cause she had this thing about the plus two, could see it on her face. Like all the blood was draining and she was looking at me like, this is bullshit. This is straight bullshit. Sounds good. Are you wearing the scarf vest from Boston Proper? I am. I ordered it last week and can't wait to get it, especially if that is what you have on. The one and only. I love this thing. I was just showing it to Chris. He was like, I thought it was a dress at first. I was like, no. Let's see. I'm just reaching 25 pounds today. How do I keep from fears that I will bump right back up right away? The only way, like, you don't need to keep from those fears. You need to keep from doing the things that will cause a bump. So can you just agree? It's like, it's normal to be afraid that I'll go back up. But the only thing that would cause it is me actually doing something different that lost me the first 25 pounds. If I'm solid with continuing on with what I did, I'm just going to prove my fears wrong. That's what I would be thinking about. And welcome to the Queen's Club, Heather. Let's see. My 13-year-old son has ADHD and has recently been making very impulsive and sometimes dangerous choices. We are working on adjusting his meds. I'm having a lot of anxiety over this and sometimes overeat and binge. So here's the thing. I'm going to read the rest in just a minute. All right, well, let me just read it all. I am trying to tell myself this is the circumstance and separate from my eating, but I'm having difficulty separating my drama thoughts. My husband has a lot of anxiety about this too, and I feel like I let his emotions affect me. Totally, you're letting his emotions affect me. Your husband is your circumstance. Like, he has a lot of anxiety about it. What if he just decided, rather than thinking about, we're like an anxiety shitstorm over here, what if it's just like, my husband has thoughts and feelings about this, and now I need to decide what my thoughts and feelings are about how he's reacting and about what's going on with my son. You got to neutralize some of it. And I think that, like, I want you to sit there and I want you, like, the very impulsive and sometimes dangerous choices will feel very true to you. But I want to ask you, like, thinking about it in that way is jetting up your anxiety. What if we just focused on, I have a 13-year-old son with ADHD, we're adjusting his meds so that different choices can be made. It's going to be a lot, like, reducing the anxiety is going to come from you describing it different. Because you're going to have to describe it differently to believe something different about it. That's the key. Like, and I want you to think about, what am I making it mean that this is happening? He's going to hurt himself. Something bad's going to happen. That's going to be you going through there and doing models on that. That's where a lot of that fear and anxiety is going to be coming from. And it's like, it's going to have to go to, we're working on it. We're doing everything we can. And watching your brain wanting to spiral out, because the reason why you're binging is because you're not wanting to think about those things, although you already are. So what I usually tell people is, rather than binging and stuff, let's put on our action line when we have anxiety. We're going to consciously decide to address our worst fears. I'm going to write about what I'm afraid of for him and for us. And I'm going to, like, let it all out on paper. So that then I can use my reasoning brain, my higher self, to argue that, but we are working on it. But, you know, nothing's happened yet. Like, you need to be like your, like, you've got your prosecutor going crazy over here. You need to be your own best defense attorney against, like, allowing this to be more powerful than it is. It's like, you are like, he's been, you know, doing impulsive and sometimes dangerous things. Your worry and anxiety is causing you to do very impulsive and dangerous things for yourself. You're mirroring that. So it's a lot of just parceling it out that way. Do you have any materials or advice on middle of the night eating? We've done some calls on it, Lisa. It's all the same stuff though. You'll have to get to where like you have a way to figure out why you're eating in the middle of the night. You'll have to figure out a way to get conscious around it. Some people are unconscious eaters in the middle of the night. Like they wake up and they go to they don't even remember doing it. It's going to depend on, do you remember doing it? Are you doing it like, and just making the choice? You know, there's a lot to it, but I'm not sure which coach is on this call, but I'm almost sure I have some calls on it. I'm terrified that I won't be able to maintain once I reach my goal weight. How do I kick the fear in the ass? What if we just get to goal weight and see how confident we are? So what? You can just argue, say like, okay, we're losing weight the way we like it. Just ask yourself, what am I so afraid of? That I'm suddenly going to get there and hate everything that I did and not build a lifestyle. Like you have to like argue like, but we're doing it differently. That is what, like fear is one of those things, guys, is that it, y'all let it go unchecked. Like I need the fear to go away. I'm like, address the fear head on. Write down what you're so afraid of. Like what's going to happen? You're going to get to maintenance and write all the things that are going to happen. I'm suddenly going to just start eating my face off and nothing's going to work. Like you already have all those thoughts. You might as well see them. So that you can see how ridiculous they are. And then you can be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure that I enjoy the process. I'm going to do it the way I like it. And then what I'm going to do is also when I get to maintenance, decide if we needed to be fearful. You're not going to get to maintenance if you're so afraid of it. Right? All right, guys. That's it for today. Y'all have a good one. And Kathy, we put this, she's going to put this in the show notes. She has on July 12th of last year, my birthday, there was a whole call on middle of the night eating. And on March 3rd, nighttime eating. So we have some calls for you. All right. That'll be in the show notes if you're listening on the podcast replay. You guys have a good one, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.